Introduction. Strategy, it's high church theologians insist, is about outflanking competitors with big plays that yield long-term rents from a sustainable advantage. It is questionable whether this proposition is itself sustainable. Strategy involves a lot more and also a lot less. The competitive scriptures almost systematically ignore the importance of hustle and energy. While they preach strategic planning, competitive strategy, and competitive advantage, they overlook the record of a surprisingly large number of very successful companies that vigorously practice a different religion. These companies don't have long-term strategic plans with an obsessive preoccupation on rivalry. They concentrate on operating details and doing things well. Hustle is their style and their strategy. They move fast and they get it right. Are executives in these companies living in the managerial dark ages? Wouldn't they do even better if they linked their hustle to big, powerful strategic plans? I believe the answer is no. Opportunities to gain lasting advantage through blockbuster strategic moves are rare in any business. What mostly counts are vigor and nimbleness. These traits are always needed and always important, yet strategic planning theologians largely ignore them. Countless companies in all industries, young or old, mature or booming, are finally learning the limits of strategy and concentrating on tactics and execution. In a world where there are no secrets, where innovations are quickly imitated or become obsolete, the theory of competitive advantage may have had its day. Realistically, ask yourself, if all your competitors gave their strategic plans to each other, would it really make a difference? The Big Play, Track 2. The traditional model of competitive strategy calls for companies to seek sustainable advantage over their rivals by erecting massive barriers to competitors. There are many different types of barriers: strong distribution systems and brand names, proprietary technology or patents, highly efficient and well-located plants, extensive surveys and service facilities, powerful trade relationships, broad communication systems. When Coca-Cola launched New Coke in response to Pepsi's challenge, when Kodak tried to circumvent Polaroid's patents, or when Apple assaulted IBM's dominance in the office market, each was trying to get at the competition with a big play. Putting so much confidence in the big play theory did not prove as rewarding as all three had hoped. Nowhere are the limits of the big play better demonstrated than the financial service industries. Certainly, some of these companies talk about establishing sustainable competitive advantage, but somehow their words do not lead to the elaborate strategies that manufacturing companies, for example, may pursue. Plans consist of targets of revenues, costs, profits, and number of employees, and terse descriptions of their competitors' capabilities: strong, average, weak. Occasionally, they are garnished with vague comments about their own competitive advantages, like an abundance of capital or our people are our most important asset. Some leaders in financial services have not subscribed to the competitive religion because they are secure in their profits and understand the reality of their business. Quote, major sustainable competitive advantage, unquote, as Warren Buffett puts it, are almost non-existent in the field of financial services, end of quote. The Reserve Fund of New York invented money market mutual funds in 1972. It now has more than 300 competitors and a market share of only 0.8%, or less than 1%. The rewards for new product development are often temporary because such products are readily and cheaply imitated. Their descriptions are circulated via prospectuses, which competitors can easily get. If the prospectus doesn't tell all, defecting employees will. Perhaps conditioned by the markets they deal in, investment bank professionals switch jobs readily for the marginal $100,000.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?